بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is a refreshing reminder on those or for those who searched for the truth and reverted to Islam. In it there are great lessons for everyone, and especially for those who are searching for the truth. It is the search for the truth by a man known as Salman Salman al-Farisi, Salman the Persian. Salman and his story. In the beginning, no one can tell the story of Salman better than Salman himself. He, may Allah be pleased with him, told his story to one of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and a close relative of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this companion is by the name of Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. Salman said, I was a Persian man from the people of Isfahan, from a town known as Jayd. And Isfahan is a region in northwest contemporary Iran. He said, I was a Persian man from the people of Isfahan, from a town known as Jay, and my father was the town chief. To him I was the most beloved creature of Allah. As you can tell, this is an indication of a good behavior from the son towards his father. Salman is using the correct name of the true God, Allah, the name of Allah, and is the name used by all the prophets and messengers. And Allah is the same name of God, of the true God, of all the prophets and messengers. He continued to say, his love of me reached the point whereby he trusted me to supervise the fire he lit. He wouldn't let it die down. His father, as you may tell now, was a Magian who worshipped fire. My father owned a Bay'ah, which is a great country with Arab land. One day, and while busy with his constructions, he told me to go and inspect his bay'ah and to bring from it some things he wanted. On my way to his bay'ah, I came across a Christian church. I heard the voices of the prayers of the people inside. I didn't know what goes on with the lives of people outside because my father kept me confined to his house. So when I came across those people of the church and I heard their voices, I went inside watching what they were doing. When I saw them, I liked their prayers and became interested in their matter, meaning in their religion. And I said to myself, by Allah, this religion is better than that of ours. As you can tell, there is an open mind, free from blind following and blind imitation. Then he continued, by Allah, I didn't leave them until sunset. He gave himself the time to find out about this religion, which he thought then it was the right belief. And this is a perceiving and a kind heart charged with patience. This type of heart is needed to drive oneself from being confined to such thoughts as, well, I will try to find out, but I'm kind of busy now. Well, because death may knock the door sooner than one hopes. I left without actually inspecting my father's bay'ah. I asked, meaning the people of the church, where is this origin of this religion, meaning of yours? He is seeking the origin. And this is a guide for those in search. The origin, original, the essence, are essential terms that will help in the search process. What is the origin of Islam and what is its essence? It came from Allah, the Creator, the true God, and its essence is the submission to Him, most glorified and exalted He is. They answered him, the people of the church, they said, in Asham, and Asham comprises greater Syria, today's Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, and Jordan. This greater area is called Asham, which comprises Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, and Jordan. I returned to my father, who became worried and sent someone after me. Upon my arrival, he said, O son, where have you been? Didn't I trust you with an assignment? I said, I came across some people praying in their church, and I liked what they were on from their religion. By Allah, I stayed with them until sunset. It's an amazing honesty from a person who knows well his father's commitment to his religion. It is the kind of openness that is necessary for someone who searches for the truth. My father said, O son, there is no good in that religion. The religion of your fathers and forefathers is better. And as you can tell, this is the theme of those who blindly follow others in the matter of faith. And this reminds us of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fussilat in the Quran in chapter 41 verse 26. وقال الذين كفروا لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن والغوا فيه لعلكم تغلبون. And those who disbelieve say, listen not to this Quran. And this also reminds us of another verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Zukhruf, which is chapter 43 verse 22. إنا وجدنا آباءنا على أمة وإنا على آثارهم مهتدون. We found our fathers following a certain way and religion, and we guide ourselves by their footsteps. Another citation to the same effect in Surah Luqman, chapter 31:21. بل نتبع ما وجدنا عليه آباءنا. Nay, we shall follow that which we found our fathers following. And as in Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 36, ما سمعنا بهذا في آبائنا الأولين. Never did we hear of this among our fathers of the old. When you talk to converts or reverts from any religion to Islam, many times you hear the same arguments which Allah spoke about. The issue is the same. It comes in the form, do you want to leave the religion of your fathers and your forefathers? Not only that, but the parents and the family at large may take a stand against the convert. The magnitude of the opposition in this would or may vary by ranging from actual life threats to strong boycotting and deserting. This is the general trend. There are, however, cases of minor opposition and neutrality. Salman said, No, by Allah, it is better than our religion. You see, he loved his father, but he didn't flatter him. He didn't compromise about what he thought then was the truth. And what was his father's response? Salman said, he threatened me and chained me by my foot and kept me confined to his home. A father torturing his beloved son to sway him away from exploring the truth. Many prophets were oppressed and opposed, accused and ill-treated by members of their families because they opposed the, quote, the tradition. Did Salman, however, stop there? He said, I sent to the Christians requesting to let me know of the arrival of any Christian trade caravan coming from Asham. A trade caravan arrived and they informed me about it. I told the Christians to keep me informed about the people of the caravan once they finish their business and are about to return to their country. I indeed was informed when the people of Asham finished their business and were about to return to their country. I took off the chains from my foot and accompanied the caravan until we reached Asham, this contemporary Greater Syria. You see, he didn't surrender to the unjust orders of his father. He was striving in the cause of the truth, which led him ultimately to know the truth about the Creator, Allah. Listen to what Allah says in Surah, in chapter 29, verse 69. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. As for those who strive hard in us, in our cause, we will surely guide them to our path. We will surely guide them to our path. We will surely guide them to our path. Who are they? Those who strive hard in us. Salman, as you see, decided, made up his mind, and took the journey of search regardless of the fact that it is a distant and strange land to him. Allah Most Glorified and Exalted, knowing his honesty and sincerity, assisted him by making it easy for him to find a ride to the land of Asham. Upon my arrival, he said, I asked, who is the best among the people of this religion of yours? You see, Salman wants the clear truth and looks up high. Why not? People like to choose the best food, the best wife, the best clothes, the best. Salman is searching for the best about faith. They said, the bishop, he is in the church. I came to him and said, I like this religion and I love to be with you, serving you in your church, to learn from you and to pray with you. Salman realizes from the start that knowledge is gained by being with the people of knowledge. In return, he was ready to offer himself as a servant to that bishop. The humbleness of those searching for the truth brings them closer and closer to it. Against humbleness, there is arrogance. People see the signs of the truth, but their arrogance drives them away towards their destruction. As Allah states in Surah An-Naml 27:14, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. And they belied them, the signs, the evidences, the proofs, the lessons, wrongfully and arrogantly, though their own selves were convinced thereof, that those signs are from Allah. You see, wealth, social status, rank, prestige must not prohibit the person from seeking the truth that would affect his future. All of these things will vanish and the person will go to his grave only with his deeds. And the deeds are those of the heart and those of the tongue and limbs, which are the manifestations of the actions of the heart. Did I submit to my Creator? Did I live according to His commands as explained in the final message to mankind, and that's the Quran, and by the teaching of the final and last messenger to mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is what counts on the day of recompense. A reminder from Allah concerning this is in chapter 26, verses 88-89. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day whereon neither wealth nor sons will avail, except him who brings to Allah a clean heart, clean from disbelief, from polytheism and hypocrisy. Salman said, or the bishop rather, he said, okay, you can see me. And I joined him. After a while, Salman knew something about this bishop, that he was a bad man who ordered and motivated his people to pay charity only to keep it for himself. He didn't give it to the poor. He heaped up 7 jars with gold and silver. This is one example of the corrupt and evildoers in every age and land, the hypocrite and the abusive ones. Did Salman stop there with that corrupt man? No. He moved to the next stage in his search. He didn't turn away from religion. Salman commented, I hated him so much because of what I saw him doing. It's clear that his hate of the bishop didn't stop him from seeking the truth. Allah Most Exalted guided him, knowing his sincere drive to know what is right. He, the bishop, died. The Christians gathered to bury him. I told them that he was a bad man who ordered and motivated you to release your charities only to keep it for himself, and that he didn't give anything of it to the poor. They said, how did you know about this? I said, I can show you his treasure. They said, show us. I showed them the place, and they recovered from it 7 jars heaped up with gold and silver. When they saw it, they said, by Allah, we will never bury him. They crucified him and stoned him. Salman said, they replaced their bishop. I never saw a man from those who don't pray the 5 prescribed prayers better than him, meaning the new bishop, nor a man detached from this worldly life and attached to the hereafter more than him, nor a committed person who works day and night better than him. I loved him more than anything else I loved before. Salman was speaking about the 5-day prayers, prescribed prayers in Islam. Allah taught the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to conduct these prayers as well as their times during the day. It's not the kind of court prayers developed and practiced by some people. Prayers are the foundation of Islam. If done according to the Prophet's way, they purify the person from sins and wrongdoings that he may commit during the day. Salman continued, I stayed with him for some time before his death. When his death approached, I told him, or, meaning calling him by his name, I stayed with you and loved you more than anything else that I loved before. Now you are approached by the decree of Allah, meaning death. So whom would you recommend for me, and what would you like to order me? Salman is searching for good people with good knowledge. This is on his mind. The urge and readiness to go after the truth is firm. The bishop said, by Allah, people are in total loss. They altered and changed what they were on. I don't know of anyone who is still holding to what I am on except a man in Al-Mosul. So join him, and he gives his name. What is this Mosul? This is a major city in northwest Iraq. When the man died, Salman moved to Al-Mosul and met the recommended person. Salman said, I told him that such and such person at the time of his death recommended that I join you. He also told me that you are holding to the same religion as he was. The man of Al-Mosul told Salman to stay with him. I stayed with him and I found that he was the best man holding on to the matter of religion as his friend. Soon he died. soon he died. Salman said, when death approached him, Salman asked him, as he did earlier with the first friend, to recommend some other person who is on the same religion. The man said, by Allah, I don't know of anyone on the same matter of ours except a man in Nusaybin, and he is, and gives him his name, so join him. And this is a city on the road between Al-Mosul and Al-Sham. One more move. Following his death, I moved to the man in Nusaybin. Salman found the man and stayed with him for a while. The same story repeated itself. Death approached, and before he died, Salman came to the man and asked for his advice as to whom and where to go. The man recommended that Salman join another man on the same religion in Amuriya. And Amuriya is a town that was part of the Roman Empire, the eastern region. Salman moved to Amuriya after his friend died. He found his new reference and joined him on his religion. Salman worked and earned some cows and one sheep. The good and lawful way of earning is very important to the believer. Certainly the influence of money is great. Many have sold themselves and their principles for a cheap price. Many turn hypocrites for the sake of money. And many, however, can stand up for the truth regardless of what they may lose. And this brings the peace of heart and mind. Now to the big move. Death approached the man of Amuriya. Salman repeated his requests. The answer was different. Salman repeated his request and the answer was different. The man said, O son, I don't know of anyone who is on the same religion as we are. However, the time of emergence of a prophet will shade you. This prophet is one is on the same religion of Ibrahim. This bishop knew the path of Ibrahim. It is the origin of monotheism. It calls for the worship of Allah alone. The bishop knew well the recommendation of Abraham to his children, as we know of this in chapter 2, verse 132. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. And this submission to Allah in Islam was enjoined by Abraham upon his sons, and so did Jacob, saying, O my sons, Allah has chosen for you the true religion, then die not except on the state of Islam. Ibrahim alayhi salam married Sarah and Hajar. From Sarah's side, he had the following progeny: Ishaq, Yaqub, Jacob, Joseph, Dawood, David, Sulaiman, Moses, and Jesus, peace be upon them all. From his union with Hajar, he had Ishmael, and Muhammad, peace be upon them. And Ishmael was raised in Bekka, known also as Mecca in Arabia. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the descendants of Ismail alayhi wa salatu wa salam. The man knew that the faith of Abraham is to be followed. he must have read the promise of Allah to bring a great nation from Ishmael's side. And this is even still mentioned in Genesis 21:18. And he recommended to Salman, the prophet, from the descendants of Ishmael, who submits to Allah and follows the path of Ibrahim. Allah states this in the Quran in 2:129, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Our Rabb, our Lord, send amongst them a messenger of their own, who shall recite unto them your verses and instruct them in this book, the Quran, and al-Hikmah, which is the full knowledge of laws and wisdom, and sanctify them. You are the Almighty, the All-Wise. Also we read in this respect in Surah An-Nahl 16:123, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Then we have inspired you, O Muhammad, saying, follow the religion of Ibrahim, Hanifan, Islamic monotheism, to worship none but Allah. And he was not of the mushriks, of the polytheists, the pagans. Also in Al-Imran, in chapter 3, verse 68, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily among mankind who have the best claim to Ibrahim, to Abraham, are those who followed him and this prophet, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and those who have believed, meaning the Muslims. And Allah is the wali, the protector and helper of the believers. This man said, describing this prophet, he is sent with the same religion as that of Abraham. He comes from Arabia and migrates to a place located between landscapes of black stones as if burned by fire. Palm trees spread between these escapes. He has certain well-known signs. He accepts and eats from the food gift, and he does not eat from the charity. The seal of prophethood is between his soldiers, in his shoulders. If you could move to that land, then do so. So the man knew about the coming of the prophet from Arabia, from the brethren of the Israelites. Deuteronomy 17:18 is still even in their books. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, unto Musa, unto Moses, because he carries the resemblances to Musa, not to anyone else. And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Certainly this was not about Jesus, as Paul tried to interpret it in Acts 13:22-23. Because Jesus was neither of the descendants of Ishmael, nor of the brethren of the Israelites, being an Israelite himself. The man knew about God's revelation coming from Taiman, which is the north of the city of Medina in Arabia. And according to Hastings' Dictionary of the Bible, and this Holy One coming from Paran, according to Genesis 21:21, the wilderness of Paran was the place where Prophet Ishmael settled and had 12 children, amongst them Kedar, the second son of Ishmael, as in Isaiah 42:13. The beloved of God is linked to the descendants of Kedar, the ancestor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the people in Mecca, in Bekka, to submit to Allah, most of them refused and they plotted to kill the Prophet. He was commanded by Allah to migrate with those who accepted Islam to the city of Medina. Soon a battle between the few and ill-armed represented by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers, and the pagans from Mecca took place in Badr a year after the Prophet's migration. And the Prophet and his companions were victorious. If one checks Isaiah 21:13-17, one reads the following. This is the message about Arabia, people of Dadan. You whose caravans camp in the barren country of Arabia, give water to the thirsty people who come to you. You people of the land of Taima, give food to the refugees. People are fleeing from swords that are ready to kill them, from bows that are ready to shoot, from all of the dangers, war. And then the Lord said to me, in exactly 1 year the greatness of the tribes of Kedar will be at end. And this is the tribe of the Prophet ﷺ, which was the prevailing tribe in Arabia. The man knew, according to these present references in his book, and perhaps others, the man knew that Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, informed of the coming of Prophet Muhammad, same of Ahmad, which is the same as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Ahmad literally means one who praises Allah more than others. And it is one of the names of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who himself said in an authentic narration, I have five names. I am Muhammad and Ahmad. I am Al-Mahi through who Allah will eliminate, meaning infidelity. I am Al-Hashir, who will be the first to be resurrected, the people being resurrected thereafter. And I am also Al-Aqib, meaning there will be no prophet after me. And this narration is in the collection of hadith in Sahih Bukhari. The most authentic prophetic sayings, actions and traditions collected in this book. This was the glad tidings which Allah spoke about on the tongue of Jesus, as in Surah As-Saff 61:6. وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ. And remember when Jesus, son of Mary, said, O children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah unto you, confirming the Torah which came before me, and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name shall be Ahmad. And Ahmad is Muhammad. The man died. Salman stayed in Amuriya until one day some merchants from the tribe of Kalb, and this is an Arabian tribe, passed by me. Salman said, I told them, take me to Arabia, and I will give you my cows and the only sheep I have. They said, okay. Salman gave them what he offered, and they took him with them. When they reached Wadi al-Qura, which is close to Medina, they sold him as a slave to a Jew. Salman stayed with the Jew. He saw the palm trees, and he said, I hoped that this would be the same place described by my friend. Salman said, a man who was a first cousin to Salman's master and belonged to the Jewish tribe of Bani Qurayza in Medina came visiting one day. He bought Salman from his Jewish master. He took me with him to Medina. And by Allah, when I saw it, I knew it, based upon what my friend had described. Then Allah sent his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stayed in Mecca as long as he did, 13 years after he received the revelation. I didn't hear anything about him because I was very much busy with the work of slavery. He then migrated to Medina. Salman continued saying, I was one day on a palm tree on top of one of its date clusters. doing some work for my master. A first cousin of his came and stood in front of him, meaning his master was sitting, and said, "Woe to Bani Qila," which is people of the tribe of Qila. "They are gathered in Qiba," in Qiba, this is in the city of Medina, a place, "around a man who came today from Mecca, claiming that he was a prophet." When I heard that, I shivered, thinking that I was about to fall down on my master. I came down and I said, "What do you say? What do you say?" My master became angry and punched me with a powerful punch and said, "What kind of business do you have in this matter? Go mind your business." I said nothing. I just wanted to be sure of what he was saying. On that evening, I went to see the Messenger of Allah while he was in Qiba. I took with me something I had saved. I went and I said, "I was told that you are a righteous man and that your company, who are strangers here, are in need. And I want to offer you something I saved as charity. I found that you deserve it more than anyone else." Salman said, "I offered it to him." He said to his companions, "Eat." And he kept his hand off, meaning he didn't eat. I said to myself, "This is the one. This is the one." Meaning one of the signs of his prophethood. He does not eat from charity. Remember what that bishop told him? Following this encounter with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Salman left to prepare for another test. This time, he brought a gift and visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. "I saw that you don't eat from the charity. Here is a gift that I wanted to honor you with." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate from it and ordered his companions to do the same, which they did. I said to myself, "Now they are two." Allahu Akbar. Now they are two. Meaning two of the Prophet's sign came in, came through. On the third encounter, Salman came to Baqi' al-Gharqad, which is the burial site of the Prophet's companions now, where the Prophet ﷺ was sharing in a funeral of one of his companions. Salman said, "I greeted him with the Islamic salam, peace be upon you. Then I moved towards his back." He wants to check something. Attempting to see the seal of finality of prophethood that was described to me by my friend, meaning by his bishop. When he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saw me doing so, he knew that I was trying to confirm something described to him. He took the garment off his back, and I looked at the seal. I recognized it. I came down on it, kissing it and crying. The Messenger of Allah told me to move around to talk to him. I told him my story, as I did with you. I told him my story as I did with you, Ibn Abbas. Remember that Salman is telling this story to Ibn Abbas, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. He, the Prophet ﷺ, liked to tell my story to his companions. He, the Prophet ﷺ, like to tell my story to his companions. Salman continued to tell his story to Ibn Abbas. His time was still consumed to his master. he missed two battles with the pagans of Arabia. The Prophet ﷺ told him, "Right, O Salman," meaning to free yourself from your master. Salman obeyed and wrote for his freedom. He reached an agreement in which he would pay his master 40 ounces of gold and would plant and successfully raise up 300 new palm trees. The Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, "Help your brother." They helped him with the trees and gathered for him the whole quantity. The Prophet ﷺ ordered Salman to dig the proper holes to plant the baby trees. Then he, the Prophet ﷺ, planted each one with his hands. Salman said, "By whom my soul is in his hands, by Allah, that is Allah, no single tree died. No single tree died. So Salman gave the trees to his master. The Prophet ﷺ gave Salman a piece of gold that was the size of a chicken egg, and said, "Take this, O Salman, and pay the master for what you owe." Salman said, "This would be close enough in value for what I owe." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Take it. Allah will make it pay for what you owe." And this is one of the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ. "I took it, and I weighed a part of it, and it was 40 ounces. Salman gave the gold to his master. He fulfilled the agreement and he was released. Since then, Salman became a close companion of the Prophet ﷺ. One of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ by the name of Abu Huraira reported, quote, "We were sitting in the company of Allah's Messenger ﷺ when Surah Al-Jumu'ah chapter 62 was revealed to him. He recited these verses, 'وآخرين منهم وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم.' And he, Allah, has sent him Muhammad also to other Muslims who have not joined them, but they will come. But they will come." A person amongst them said, "Allah's Messenger." But Allah's Messenger ﷺ made no reply until he questioned him once, twice or thrice. "And there was amongst us Salman al-Farisi, the Persian." The Messenger of Allah ﷺ placed his hand on Salman and then said, "Even if faith were near al-Thuraya, the Pleiades, the highest star, a man from amongst these," meaning al-Salman's folk, "would surely attain it." Many in this world are like Salman, at point of search for the truth about the true and the only true God. And this story of Salman has many similarities in our times. The search of some people took them from one church to another, from a church to Buddhism or passiveness, from Judaism to, quote, neutrality, from religion to meditations, and to mental abuse. I have met and heard some of those who were moving from one place to another. They were, quote, afraid to even want to know about Islam. When they met some Muslims, however, they came with an open mind. The story of Salman is that of a long search. And to one who is listening to it, from those who are searching, you could make it shorter by benefiting from it. I ask Allah the Most High to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.